finishing chapter 7, section 1. Angel Island in San Francisco was where the immigrants from Asia are coming from, those coming from Japan and China and other places. The treatment there was vastly different from that at Ellis Island. At Ellis Island, the processing for some people did not take very long at all, and again, the percentage of people sent home was very, very small. Angel Island, because of blatant racism, frankly, because those people coming from the East were more different than the Americans who were already here, the process took weeks, and they were basically put into what could really only be called a jail cell, more or less, and then a multiple-week process, which the conditions in those places were not very good, and then a much, much higher rate of people being rejected and sent back to whatever nation in Asia they came from. And, of course, you'll read about the first act, the Chinese Exclusion Act, which was the first thing that ever completely shut off immigration from a particular place in the 1880s. So the whole Angel Island experience was considerably different than the Ellis Island experience, and it doesn't get as much attention given to it, mainly, or maybe at least in part, because it was not a very pleasant part of American history, and thus it doesn't get the kind of attention that the Ellis Island experience gets. 7. The transition, the coping to new surroundings. The main thing to understand about this is, especially as immigrants from new kinds of places, different lands, begin to come to the United States, there is a lot of this kind of settling with people with whom you share culture with, where you share language, where you share religious practices, where you share customs, identity, even food choices, those kinds of things. You will see then the development of those kinds of ethnic neighborhoods that if you've been to major cities, you know, in many cases, still exist to this day. So the way for someone who came from someplace without any ability to speak the language and get along was basically to establish a kind of existence where they could have comfort here in the United States as they began the process of adapting to a new land. So you begin... You see these places, the Little Italies, you know, the Chinatowns, you know, the Polish neighborhoods, the Hungarian neighborhoods, the Ukrainian neighborhoods, those kinds of things as a means by which to adapt. That had some consequences. Question number 8, the nativist movement. Well, the people who were already here in the United States at this particular time and now began to see this different wave of immigrants holding on to their traditional ways of doing things for a longer period of time as a means by which to cope in this new land, began to resent the fact that those people were not Americanizing quickly enough, that they were holding on to these, you know, traditional ways, and there was a fear that there was going to be, you know, less of a process of becoming an American. I use that term in air quotes. And maybe some ideas that were anti-American, again, there's a real fear of the isms, communism, socialism, anarchism, towards the early part of the 1900s, that some of these ideas were fostering, perhaps, in some of these neighborhoods. So less of an emphasis on becoming an American and more of holding on to traditional ways of doing things leads to this nativist movement and the efforts, first with the Chinese Exclusion Act, and then with many efforts towards the late 1910s and early 1920s to limit the number of people coming into the country. You can glance at these in the textbook. The immigration laws begin to be put in place in 1917, 1921, 1924 to establish restrictions on who's going to be allowed in and from what parts of the world they are going to be allowed to come from. So this notion of what we have in present day, this idea of illegal immigration, is put into place at this particular time in the late 1910s, early 1920s. Before that time, it was pretty much free reign. And again, the vast, vast majority of people who came here were allowed in here irrespective of where they came from, with the one exception of the Chinese Exclusion Act in the 1880s. Well, now, here in the 1910s and 20s, there's this sense that the country is changing too much. There are too many people who are coming here who are too different from what an American is supposed to look like, sound like, be like. So there's this notion that it's time to restrict certain kinds of people from coming to the United States. And one of those acts you can read about basically says the country is going to look the same going forward. We're going to kind of keep the face of the country the same. The percentage of people coming from a country like the Ukraine, the number of immigrants allowed into the country will only be the same as the percentage of those that are already here in the country. So the ethnic makeup of the country would remain consistent over time. So those, and all of a sudden you see the imposition of literacy tests and more stringent processes by which a person could be allowed into the country. And that is a direct result of the notion that, again, the country is changing too rapidly because people with different kinds of religion and customs and language and all of those kinds of things are now changing what the country looks like and sounds like. And many people who are already here wanted to stop that before it got too out of control in their minds.